This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Thank you for joining me for the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. And joining me today on the Community Matters program is our Washington, D.C. correspondent, Rachel Knapp. And Rachel, congratulations. You have been with us here at Lilly Broadcasting for over a year now, and you have had, you know, a crazy year, to say the least, I would say. And, you know, what I'm kind of curious to talk about in relation to this is I want to get the listeners an update as to what you've been doing the last few weeks. It's been a while since we've talked, I would say. So I'd like to give everyone an update as to what you've been doing at the Capitol and, you know, the different travels you've been on, because you've been very busy. And, you know, maybe give people an update as to what we could be looking forward to for coverage moving ahead. So, Rachel, how has the last year been so far?
Well, hey, Aaron, it's always great talking to you. This past year has been crazy busy, as you know. I mean, not only are there just tons of development at the Capitol, we have an election right around the corner, but we've also traveled to Poland. We've covered the refugee crisis, and we're still kind of covering that humanitarian crisis itself. And then, of course, right now we've had a lot of recent big events, and I'm speaking to you right now in Florida, in Southwest Florida, after we just got done kind of our coverage right now in Southwest Florida following Hurricane Ian.
Wow. So it seems like you have been incredibly busy over the last few months. And what I would like to kind of give people an update with is, I think we should start with some of the more recent coverage you've been doing, talking about Hurricane Ian and the effect that's had on Florida, being, you know, you're there right now. So would you mind going through some of the details about how you ended up making your way down to Florida and some of the coverage you've been bringing to us?
Yeah, sure. Of course. So, you know, I pitched this idea to our bosses because we just kept hearing about how our members from our local communities are, you know, taking the time, you know, and going down there and helping or volunteering or supporting any relief efforts right now. And so we went down there, and honestly, I think I was shocked to see how bad the storm is. You know, it's one thing seeing it on your TV screens or anything, or photos and other videos, but it was like another to kind of walk through it. It literally felt like one neighbor described it as a war zone. It really did look nothing like a regular beach town or anything like that. Local businesses that people would go to and frequent are just swept away. It was truly crazy to see how just things like poles, like just like two poles, were the only thing standing, and all this debris is covering. It was just really sad. So I want to say overall, it's been really heartbreaking here. And it's also been really difficult because there are so many people who are down here right now. The relief workers, linemen, first responders, contractors, really construction workers, FEMA, really, it's like everyone is down here to help, which is inspiring and great to see, but it's also creating just such like heavy traffic. So like getting to the spots where the storm has hit the hardest, it took me 3 hours just to get to Fort Myers Beach. Wow. It's been incredibly difficult. And like, I can't imagine like people just trying to go to their homes just to check on them. You know, see if they can clean out any debris and stuff like that. It's been really hard to see. Honestly, like, it makes you just think, like, you know, Aaron, for example, like if you like imagine your home, right? Your furniture, your couch, everything like that. Now imagine that room or your home filled with 5-6 feet of water. That's what like a lot of people were dealing with. And that water was staying up so high. I mean, I'm, you know, 5'7" and I could see the water line was maybe like 2 inches below, wow. You know, kind of like right where my eyesight was. And it was really kind of hard to swallow and hard to see, but it's reality that people are dealing with. And the storm down here, it's been, you know, it's been what, 2-3 weeks now since the storm hit, and people are still like displaced. A lot of people still don't have power. It's been really hard to see down here, Aaron.
Wow. So, you know, when you're looking at that and, you know, some of the things that you've seen in relation to this, what I'm kind of curious to, you know, talk about with this is the path that storm took and, you know, where it crossed over there. Did it leave a, like, a, I guess what I'm kind of wondering is, like, did it at any point in time show any signs that it was starting to let up or weaken or anything along those lines before it crossed? Or did it kind of just leave a huge path of destruction in its wake and then it weakened after it got past Florida? What was really the order?
Exactly. Yeah. So a lot of people that I spoke with who lived either on Fort Myers Beach or around Fort Myers Beach, they all thought that the storm was going to hit a little bit more north towards the Tampa area, which is about 2 hours driving from Fort Myers area. But instead, it hit directly to them. And they said, like, once it got to Fort Myers Beach, it really, that's when it just picked up speed. And Aaron, it was just incredible driving to Fort Myers Beach. There are literal boats. I'm not talking about small boats. I'm talking about like these like charter, you know, party boats, you know, where there's like two levels and stuff like that. Some were in the middle of the road. Wow. And then even like in the marina next to Fort Myers Beach, the shrimp boats, all these commercial giant shrimp boats, they're stacked on top of each other. And people were just saying like, that's how powerful the storm was, but then also how strong the storm surge, all that extra water coming in, it was able to just lift all these heavy things up and just stack everything. So as far as if there's like a clear path, really, if you just look at the map at Fort Myers Beach in that area, just that whole community. I mean, even just driving away from the beach and trying to get closer to the highway or just kind of further away, you still see homes with tons of debris, tons of downed trees, roofs have been crumbled and they're laying on the sidewalk. It's so really there's no like clear, like straight line with this whole thing. It's just kind of everywhere that storm touched really. Yeah, from what I've heard, it kind of weakened after hitting Fort Myers, but it was still strong enough to leave a path of destruction.
Jeez, that is just so insane to try to imagine and try to just, you know, picture yourself in that situation. Now, one of the things that I'm curious about in relation to this is when you're looking at this from like a perspective of like prior to this hitting and before it comes, you know, the evacuation procedures and things like that that take place. Did you happen to notice, in your opinion, or from what you've reported, do you think that more people or less people this time tended to heed that warning to get out in time?
So I think it kind of depends on where you were. A lot of people that I spoke with say that the Florida officials were really good and they were on top of like keeping everyone updated, like about the storm. If you were in an evacuation zone, when you should leave or if you should leave. The only thing I've heard some like mixed things on was some people, especially in the Fort Myers area. Some are, you know, criticizing Florida's officials, saying like they should pull this earlier. You know, but you know, on the same side, like I think these officials are saying, well, we didn't know that it was going to hit Fort Myers directly. So I think it's just kind of like a toss up. So as far as like, you know, the blame game, people are pointing the finger at each other. But the thing is, it's, I think a lot of people were prepared that there was going to be a storm. I think that they just weren't, this is what I've heard a lot from everyone, is that they weren't prepared for how strong it was going to be, you know, because they've said they dealt with hurricanes and tropical storms before, but like this was, and I'm not even joking, Aaron, when I say this, like people say they have never experienced a storm like this. Like they grew up in the Florida area. They've experienced, you know, other storms, but this was just a whole different level.
Wow. You know, it's really interesting because I remember seeing the newscasts originally when this was first starting to hit that people were saying this was a 1 in 100 year storm. And, you know, really, when you put it into that kind of perspective, it really makes a lot more sense when you, you know, can imagine what you've described and, you know, seeing the water levels so high in people's houses and seeing the commercial fishing boats displaced like you've described. I mean, that is just so hard to try to imagine and just put into perspective. So, you know, with that being said, one of the things that I'm kind of curious to talk about, and this is going to be going a little bit before that, we're going to be talking another trip that you had an opportunity to go on. You went to Poland, and you know, when we're talking about destruction and the things that like are just left in the wake of some of the things that you've had to see, you know, some of it's extremely, I mean, all of it really has been extremely tragic. So with that being said, would you mind going through some of the details of some of the reporting that you have been able to do a little bit earlier this year, going through your trip to Poland and your time, you know, helping at the Ukraine border and, you know, doing some reporting on that type of stuff?
Sure. Yeah, of course. So, you know, just kind of like with Florida, we're seeing a ton of volunteers, you know, give up their time and help support any relief efforts and stuff like that. And that's exactly kind of what we saw when we were in Poland. And it was great to see because it was almost like, you know, faith in humanity is restored and all these people are, you know, taking time away from their job and they're going to the border. They're going to Poland. They're, you know, passing out warm meals or giving out clothes, all that stuff. They're helping them get SIM cards. So we went to Poland like maybe 2-3 weeks right after Russia invaded Ukraine. And, you know, for safety reasons, our bosses at the time, because it was still very like the fighting was just so fresh and it was so intense. Our bosses wanted to keep us, you know, in Poland, which, you know, it makes sense, of course. But of course, you know, when we were there, we saw so much of the humanitarian relief. It was also heartbreaking to see because you just saw how little people, were able to take with them. I mean, some people crossed into Poland on foot. They had like, you know, women had these, you know, babies or toddlers or, you know, children. And they could maybe only carry like a suitcase or a backpack with them. And it just kind of like, you know, I remember asking them like, you know, what did you pack? Just add it in there. Just said, we just grabbed whatever we could. And that was kind of like, I don't want to put similarities, but it was very similar to what like these Florida residents are going through is when they're going back to their homes and they're going back to all this devastation. You know, I'm just like, you know, what have you been able to salvage? And
the thing that I wanted to discuss in relation to what we were talking about being, you know, kind of the similar situation that the people that are living in Florida and the people that were living in Ukraine were dealing with. You also, while you had to see some of the toughest times in humanity, you had an opportunity to kind of see some of the brighter sides as well. And one of the things that I really liked about the reporting that you've been able to do is that you've been able to highlight the volunteers that are doing really important jobs in both Florida and Ukraine. So would you mind going through some of the volunteer work that you've been able to cover on both sides that have been helping to, you know, make life better for everyone involved?
Sure, of course. So, well, here in Florida, we've met people willing to just give the shirts off of their backs for strangers. And it's been really heartwarming to see. And, you know, we've covered how our communities, how like every area, they've come down, you know, they might have like a second place to live down here and they've been able to kind of help some people. But also some volunteers, which I thought was really incredible, is that they've been able to just pass out like warm meals, like a simple hot dog, which, you know, if you've been without power or electricity for days, like most of these people have been, like a simple warm meal like that can really just kind of make all the difference in the world, right? And so we've seen volunteers like that, but then also we've seen locals going to their friend's house, their neighbor's house, checking in on each other, but then also helping move a lot of the debris outside. When I say debris, I'm talking about downed trees, but I'm also talking about damaged furniture from all the water damage, you know, because again, remember, Aaron, like all that water is like 5-6 feet within some of these homes, and it just really damaged everything that it touched. And so all these people are helping move their home and lighting them out outside for FEMA and the county workers to come pick them up. So it's to see, and the humanitarian side of it all has been amazing. And we saw similar stuff like that over in Poland. There were people coming in from other countries to serve food or to help places to stay. But we also saw people from our own, you know, communities and hometown, Aaron. Like there was, I remember going to these gentlemen and one of them was from Corning, New York. And, you know, he said that he wanted to come over originally to help fight, but after getting over there, he just interested kind of in like the humanitarian side of things and getting, you know, supplies to the border camps and stuff like that. And we also met a woman from Chautauqua County who in a van that she, I believe, rented and driving military vests. That it's a huge difference. And I think with these like really tragic situations, people too.
I agree. You know, and one of the things that I'm kind of thinking about with this is, you know, it's just tough on your end. Like, I don't know. I feel bad because sometimes you like, you have to see some of the hardest things that like people have to deal with. And I mean, granted, it's really, really bad for the people that are dealing with those things. But I mean, you in your, like, you are going to be, you know what I mean? Like, there's trauma that you are seeing and that you're dealing with that is because of, you know, the conflicts and the situations and the things like that that are happening, you know, around the world. Now, one of the things that I wanted to talk about in relation to the work that you've been doing is the fantastic reporting that you do on everything that's happening in the nation's capital. Now, when we're talking about what's happening in the nation's capital, we're talking about the decisions that the lawmakers are making that affect us on a daily basis here in Warren County and across the entire nation, really. Now, one of the things that I wanted to talk about in relation to that is you have done a really, really great job so far in covering the Congress and the House of Representatives and the different people that are up for election in our different areas here. Now, I understand you guys are possibly going to be doing some coverage of some races here in Pennsylvania as well.
Yeah, that's correct, Aaron. So first of all, Pennsylvania is always an exciting state to watch when it comes to local Dr. Oz, John Fetterman, going against each other for the Senate. Our crew and I, our Harrisburg reporter and I, were trying to look into seeing if we can get a little bit of a in-depth and closer coverage of the two campaigns, because we know that they're just going to be duking it out, especially for these next couple of weeks for this really important Senate seat. Because right now, Aaron, I think I've said it before, I'm going to say it again for everyone. The Senate is so closely divided. It's 50 Republicans, 50 Democrats, with Vice President Kamala Harris as the tie-breaking vote. So really, the Democrats have a majority by one, technically. And they are just going to be fighting so hard to keep that control, especially in the Senate, because really the Senate is so tough. They've got so many different rules, which is so different than the House of Representatives. So we're going to try to cover this really important Senate race, because a lot of people are going to try to flip Senator Pat Toomey's Republican seat to blue. So we're going to see how that plays out. So hopefully within the next couple of weeks, right before, or at least leading up to elections, we're going to try to follow the campaign around.
Wow, that's going to be really, really interesting, especially when you think about this election season and you think about the different things that are at stake and really what the different voters are going to be coming out for this, you know, election season, what they're going to be voting for and how that's really going to affect them. Because I think, and you, I think you might agree with me on this, I'm not sure, I think that there are just a ton of different races and things that are going to be taking place that people are going to have the opportunity to vote on this election season that are really going to bring out different groups of people that hadn't, you know, voted en masse in the past. You know what I mean? I think that this election season is going to be really important because things might not flip the way that they've always traditionally done, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the thing. So a lot of political scientists, they've told me that midterm elections are always an interesting kind of race, because you might think that one seat is safe and really all of a sudden it's not. And especially with this midterm election, there's a lot of divisiveness and a lot of tension coming in from both sides. So it's going to be really kind of tough to see who's going to remain in control, because we know that Republicans right now are going to be just really duking it out, trying to get power for both chambers. But, you know, this, I will say, I think this midterm election is going to be very interesting for a couple of reasons. Not only are there some unique candidates up for that potential seat, but also there are important issues at stake, right? I mean, right now, you know, we're coming, I don't want to say coming off the heels of the pandemic, but, you know, we're still kind of dealing with that. Maybe it's not as intense, but, you know, the economy, from what I'm hearing, it's still just a top issue, and it's going to be a driver for who's going to come out to vote and why they're voting for who. And so people, the economy is going to be a top issue that people are going to be voting for and voting for their candidate, because, you know, times are tough right now. I mean, Aaron, you've probably gone to the gas stations, you've probably gone to grocery stores recently. And like, you know, I've definitely felt it here in DC. And, you know, it's tough. You're seeing price bumps. I'm about to see a bump in my rent, and, you know, times are tough, and this is just for everyone. It's not just like a one spot in our country. Right. So I think these races, especially for this midterm, the economy is going to be an important factor who people will be voting for.
Absolutely. I think that you bring a really important point to that. Now, one of the things that I wanted to discuss with this before we get ready to wrap up here is, you know, you are doing a ton of really, really amazing reporting, like we've talked about in the past, just like in the past few minutes, about all the different places you've been able to, you know, interview people from, and just the different things you've been able to see and bring to people on the television screens for WICU. Now, what I'm kind of curious to talk about is, you know, as we look forward and we look towards some of the things like that, what are some of your favorite things that you've had an opportunity to cover so far? Like, if you were to think of like just some stories from this year that you've been able to cover, what are your favorites?
Well, I will say, I think the most rewarding was probably going to Poland, was because it really put into perspective of how awful this war is and how awful it is on the impacts of just everyday people. To me, that was the most, it was probably the hardest assignment I've done, mentally, emotionally. That was probably the most hardest. But it was also, you know, I think back on it, and I'm just so grateful and thankful to have done that and to show our viewers and our listeners, you know, this is the reality of war. This is what's going on. But this is also what people are doing to do their part and help out. So to me, that was probably the most rewarding. But as far as any fun stories go, oh my gosh, Aaron, I'm so excited. I can't wait for President's Day. I know it sounds so funny. Can't wait for President's Day to roll around again, because this past President's Day, which I think is back in February, I went to George Washington's Mount Vernon, you know, his home, where our first president lived and stuff like that. And it was a blast, Aaron. People were dressed up to the nines. They were in character. It was just so fun. I always joke and say, oh, they let me out of the Capitol, you know, every now and then. And it's always fun to put those fun stories together. Cause, you know, I think some people are always like, oh, the news can be so, you know, sad or negative, but I am just someone who's always like, yes, like if there's a fun story to share, that's it. So I would have to say Poland, that, but then also kind of on a more serious note, I think our coverage of how our local lawmakers have voted, on some really kind of hot topic issues, like, reproductive access, gay marriage, gun rights, gun votes. I think stuff like that has been really important to share too, and I've been honored to be part of it and to share with our viewers and listeners, hey, this is how your elected officials vote on this issue. This is what they're saying about it. So, wow, I don't know. Yeah. Sorry. I know you said to list one. I listed lots.
You know, it's really amazing that you brought up some of those different things, because you've got some really great points that you've made there. And one of the things that I really like in the reporting that you've done, and really I've enjoyed it because we've reported on some of these things on our stations too, is, you know, when you do these reports, you go in depth and you do say, you know, how each of our local representatives voted on these issues and measures, which I think is really important to all the people that are listening and doing things here in the community, that they understand how their elected officials are voting on these measures. Now, you know, with that being said, how are people best able to keep up with the different work that you're doing at Erie News now? Because I understand that there is a ton of different things that you're working on right now. There's a lot of really exciting things to look forward to, and, you know, you're going to be having a lot of fun. So one thing that I did want to talk about, it, other than that too, I just wanted to mention, you had a really cool story about a flower in DC, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. It was, A corpse
flower? It was the corpse flower.
Yes. That, so talking about fun stories, like that is one of the most interesting stories I've ever heard. So, you know, not to add another question onto the question I just asked, but like, how are people able to go see some of those things as well?
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, I'm a sucker for a really interesting story or something that's going to make your head scratch and go, huh? So I am definitely all for that. But if you're wanting to check out some of my work, both inside the Capitol and outside the Capitol, Erie News Now has our own Washington, D.C. bureau. You can look on the news tab, scroll down, go to bureaus, and then we're right there in Washington, D.C. You can even check out all my Florida coverage, as well as some of my Poland coverage. In that tab as well, if y'all are curious.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, with that being said, Rachel, thank you for taking the time to join me today to go through this. I understand there is just a ton of things going on right now for you in Florida. You've got a lot of things to wrap up before you get ready to get out of there. And, you know, thank you for taking the time to go through this with me today. And thank you for the amazing job you do providing great coverage to all the listeners and viewers for both WICU and here on 92 Gold.
Oh, no. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click contact.